The NBA playoffs are here, and we all know playoff mode is a thing. Listen to the evidence. Playoff crowds are going wild. Playoff players are lighting up the court. Even your speakers are in playoff mode. Okay, we'll take it down a notch, but just a notch, because this is the Turn It Up to 11 NBA playoffs. Playoff mode is clearly a thing. The NBA playoffs presented by Google Pixel continue on ABC, ESPN, TNT, and NBA TV.
Welcome to Stupidity, home of the greatest media mind ever to walk the planet.
I tell you what, man, he's a literal titan across the entire media landscape.
Okay, so here's the deal. He's a true icon in every sense of the word.
He's loved and feared more than any being to grace this planet.
There's two guys. A man with a voice that sounds like Barry White and Beyonce had a Jewish baby.
God himself would pay $39.99 for a cameo. Fact of the matter is, you are about to embark on a transcendent experience that can only be described as psychological nudity.
This is Stu Goss, and this is Stupidity.
Here we go, Jim.
Tony!
Welcome into another episode of Stupidity, brought to you by DraftKings, the biggest podcast in the world. Please subscribe, rate, review, unsubscribe, resubscribe, re-rate, re-review. You doing that has made us the biggest podcast in the world. Don't look now, Mike, but also we're sponsored by DraftKings. Incredible people want to come on this podcast. Wow. Chris Sims, Peter King. I mean, what the hell's going on here? I mean, Peter King is going to join us to tell us how great the Jets draft was.
Couple of kings cutting it up.
Hey, how about that? The Draft King and Peter King cutting it up. I like that. That's a good job out of you, Michael. Why did I just sound like Chris Russo? I have no idea.
I don't know.
Good job. quick game of athletes that can know kings. King Rice.
Oh, wow.
King Rice. Former point guard, North Carolina. How about that?
Oh, wow. King Scepter. Adam Schefter.
Ah, Adam Scepter. Septy. Stupidity. Let's get to Peter King.
Stu Gatz here for my friends over at Miller Lite. A lot's changed over the years. One thing that hasn't, the great taste of Miller Lite. It was the original light beer, and to this day, it's still the best one. Miller Lite has more of the taste you want and less of the stuff you don't. And listen, the NBA playoffs are here. I cannot tell you how many times I have drowned my sorrows because of the New York Knicks, and I've drowned them in ice-cold Miller Lights. But hopefully, there is hope. This year, I'll be celebrating my New York Knickerbockers. How about that? Miller Lite keeps it simple, undebatable quality, great taste, only 96 calories. It's the beer that strips away everything you don't need and holds on to what matters most. The original light beer since 1975. Times change, but you can always enjoy the great taste of Miller Lite. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/stew, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces.
Peter King with us, NBC Sports NFL Insider. He's the host of the Peter King Podcast and authors the weekly Football Morning in America column every Monday exclusively on NBCSports.com. Peter, I'd like to start here because your information is so great. What the hell is going on with Green Bay and Aaron Rodgers?
You know, I think this is this goes back quite a while. I don't mean to be obnoxious about this. It might go back 30 years because really, you know, what happens in the Packers is very football traditional. Okay. The general manager picks the players, the coach coaches the players, and the players play, and never the twain shall meet. I mean, it's, you know, and I think we're getting to a point now. We saw it a little bit with Russell Wilson in Seattle, where Russell Wilson wants to have a little say in what goes on in the playbook. He wants to have a little say in maybe not who the team is going to draft, but just, hey, let's just talk about this. So I get it. I just want to give you my 2 cents worth. And the Green Bay Packers just don't do that. They never did it with Brett Favre. And they certainly haven't done it with Aaron Rodgers. And I think, so this is a weird way to look at this, all right? But I think a little bit of this also is a little bit, honestly, of quarterback envy with Tom Brady. And, you know, you look at what, and I'm not saying that either Russell Wilson or Aaron Rodgers or any quarterback says, oh, I'm envious and I'm angry about, you know, what happened to Brady. I think they think what has happened with Brady is great. He goes to a team and that team doesn't bend at the knee to worship Tom Brady, but they want his input on what they're going to do in some of the players. And, you know, he said, look, I really want Antonio Brown. He can help us win. And they go get Antonio Brown. So, and I just think that a lot of this is sort of modern athletics now in some ways. You know, James Harden says, I want to go to the Nets. And so they figure out a way. I mean, I think maybe in 3 or 4 years, anybody who roots for the Nets is not going to be very happy with that trade because they're going to have no draft choices. But I do think there is something about sort of the modern athlete that, you know, the times they are a-changing.
Peter, are you saying, because this is fascinating to me, there's a chance within the dynamics of that Green Bay Packer organization that the GM decided, hey, I'm trading up for Jordan Love, whether Matt LaFleur likes it or not. Is there a chance that decision was made without LaFleur's knowledge?
I don't think so. I'm pretty sure LaFleur knew what was going on. He's in the meetings. He's talking to him. I mean, I don't know. I've never asked that question, but it is a good question. But I do think the fact is that, you know, Rodgers has said that he didn't know what was going on, you know, that he didn't know that. And so in my opinion, I don't think it's that difficult, honestly, if you really want to make a culture change, I don't think it's that difficult to take your most important player and say, hey, why don't you stop by the office Friday afternoon and talk to me about what you're concerned about? Not necessarily then that Aaron Rodgers is going to dictate policy or dictate, hey, bring this guy off the practice squad and put him on the active roster. I don't mean that. I think what I mean is just hearing what Rodgers thinks. In my opinion,
yes,
I'd want to know what Aaron Rodgers thinks.
No, right, Peter, I think you're dead on where he's looking at Tom Brady and the Buccaneers, and Brady's saying, I want Gronk back. And then Gronk's back. He's saying, I want Antonio Brown. Antonio Brown's on the roster. I think he said he wanted Leonard Fournette. Fournette is on the roster. And I think Aaron Rodgers says, hey, I might not have the rings, but I'm just as good at that guy at this thing. And I want to be able to tell you guys who to pick. And yet he's playing for an organization who, for the first time since 2015, took a wide receiver in the first three rounds of the draft. He has to be frustrated. Of course. I think you're onto it.
I mean, I would think so. And I think, look, I honestly really don't think that Aaron Rodgers would look at the drafting of Jordan Love and say, I am angry at the drafting of Jordan Love. I think he was more angry or frustrated, you know, he's talked about this stuff cryptically. I can't read his mind. I'm not close to Aaron, but I'm just trying to read the tea leaves here. And the tea leaves to me say, the last three drafts have been three of the best drafts in NFL history for wide receivers. Finally, in 2021, they used their third pick on Amari Rodgers.
Yeah.
And you know, better late than never. But I believe, and I have believed in the last few years, that even though I think it's wrong to say they haven't gotten them help, you know, they've drafted very wisely on the offensive line, and they have protected Rodgers very, very well. And what were they, either the highest scoring team in football last year or number two, whatever. I mean, they're really good on offense. So I don't buy this, oh, they haven't helped them, but they certainly haven't helped them much at wide receiver.
The NBA playoffs are here, and we all know playoff mode is a thing. Listen to the evidence. Playoff crowds are going wild. Playoff players are lighting up the court. Even your speakers are in playoff mode.
Okay, we'll take it down a notch, but just a notch, because this is the Turn It Up to 11 NBA Playoffs. Playoff mode is clearly a thing. The NBA Playoffs presented by Google Pixel continue on ABC, ESPN, TNT, and NBA TV.
Peter, you had the best mock draft last year, and you did it once again this year, but I do have to question you on something. How does Peter King get 9.5 picks correct out of 32? Where's the half, Peter? How did that happen? Come on.
Well, the 9.5, here's the 9.5. Okay, like, here's how I count them. And, okay, you know, I think this was in the Sporting News that they did it. If you, like, I pick Vera Tucker, you know, the guard tackle from USC, to be the 14th pick overall to Minnesota. He was the 14th pick overall, but it was to the Jets. So you get half a point for that in the Sporting on the Sporting News scoreboard. But, you know, one of the things I remember when I first started doing these drafts, and Paul Zimmerman was really very good at it, and I remember he would work on it for 6 or 7 weeks off and on. And he, you know, he would just go crazy with it. And I always thought, man, I'll never do that. But now I do that. Now I nerd out over it, like the Friday, Saturday, Sunday before my column posts Monday morning. And so, you know, it's become a competitive thing, and I'm a competitive person. So, you know, I like to try to win even if I don't.
Peter, did you see this coming years ago, the draft becoming this, what it is today?
Hey, I've told this story that my first year covering the NFL was 1984. I covered the Cincinnati Bengals for the Cincinnati Inquirer. It was Sam Weich was a rookie head coach. Boomer Esiason was a rookie second-round quarterback. Chris Collinsworth was on the team. And the day before, 2 days before the draft that year, I went into Sam Weich's office and he said, "Do you want to know who we're going to pick?" And I said, "Well, yes." And so he said, "Look, as long as you don't tell anybody, because remember, you know, obviously no internet, no anything in those days. So if I write who the Bengals are going to draft on the morning of the draft, it's basically goes into an echo chamber in Greater Cincinnati. That's it." So, you know, he told me, you know, from one to, I think I got 7 of their first 10 picks correct, including a tight end from Arizona State named Don Kern. But like, that was the craziest thing, because in those days, it just, the draft was a big deal to teams, but it wasn't a big deal in the public. Nobody really cared. And so that is how much the draft has changed. If you read my column this week, you see the lengths to which John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan went to keep their the pick of Trey Lance secret. And it was absurd. They told the coaches on their staff who they were picking at this point, at the point when Roger Goodell is announcing Trevor Lawrence is the pick in Jacksonville. So they all found out 10 minutes before San Francisco turned the pick in.
So I guess, Mikey, yeah, Chris Sims was not lying to me, because you know he has Kyle Shanahan's initials on his ankle, Peter. I know you know that. And therefore, I just asked Sims, how long ago did you know that Shanahan was taking Lance? And he said, I had no clue. And basically said what you just said, like, no one knew until he actually went up and announced the pick. It's crazy.
The bottom line, and if you read my column, it's crazy that, you know, Kyle Shanahan in my column this week, basically, he took 2 minutes and 37 seconds in which he encapsulated everything, every reason why he picked Trey Lance. But also, you know, he told me, and I quote, "I love Mac Jones." And I am convinced that the difference in this became Trey Lance's ability in modern football to make the off-schedule plays, to throw it on the run, and to really think while he's doing all this. And so that's what Kyle Shanahan saw in Trey Lance. And now, you know, as I said in my column, now all he has to do is be great.
But I was talking with Chris, and tell me if you agree. He probably has a great, when you consider the coach, the organization, that team being, you know, a quarter away from winning a Super Bowl just 2 years ago, Trey Lance probably has the greatest head start in the history of the NFL,
no
right?
question. And especially consider this head start, all right? So, you know, when they have had a healthy quarterback for 16 games.
Yeah.
That's only happened one time in the 4 years of Shanahan.
Crazy.
They went 13-3, and they got a 10-point lead in the Super Bowl in the fourth quarter. The other 3 years, 6-10, 6-10, 4-12. So it just goes to show you when everybody said, oh, my God, you cannot trade two future ones to go to move up nine spots in the draft. I think one of the side stories – about that really stuck out this year, and I mean really stuck out this year, is that more and more coaches, more and more general managers are treating the draft the way Jimmy Johnson began treating the draft in 1989, in that if I want something, I'm going to get it, and I don't care what it costs. The 49ers wanted something. They wanted to move up so that they would be able to get whatever quarterback they wanted, but probably Mac Jones or Trey Lance. And they said, you know, we know that we're going to have to move up, but quite honestly, the peace of mind that you have if you know that you have your quarterback for the next 10 years is worth two additional ones. And so, I have no problem with that whatsoever. But, you know, if you make a mistake on it, you might be paying with your job.
Peter King with us, NBC Sports NFL Insider, also the host of the Peter King podcast and authors the weekly Football Morning in America column every Monday exclusively on NBCSports.com. Quick, surmise from Mikey A and I are Jet fans here, Pete.
Yeah.
So we're a little uncomfortable with how many people love what the Jets did because they actually did things that make sense. How would you size up the Jets draft? Please tell us it was bad.
Yeah, crush it.
The reason why I like the Jets draft, and believe me, I have not been able to say that back through the last few years through the Hackenberg type picks and all that stuff. But the reason why I really like this draft is that, you know, I remember this was maybe 2 weeks ago. I was on the phone with Gil Brandt, and every year I ask Gil Brandt, I said, hey, Gil, give me your favorite players in this draft. And I always tell him, look, I don't want the first or second or third pick in the draft because everybody loves those guys. Give me your favorite player. Like, his fourth favorite player in this draft was a running back from North Carolina named Michael Carter. Okay. And I just, when I heard that name in the draft in the fourth round to the New York Jets, I don't pay attention every pick. And so I said, oh my God, Michael Carter, one of Gil Brandt's favorite guys in this draft, lasted till the fourth round. So I went on YouTube on Saturday night when I was just fooling around a little bit, and I looked at some runs by Michael Carter, and I was wowed. It's one of the reasons why I wouldn't necessarily risk picking a running back until later in the draft, because the depth of running back quality is really pretty solid in most drafts. This guy, I will be very surprised if he's not the starting back for the Jets at some point this year. And to get Elijah Vera Tucker at 15, he cost a lot, or at 14, excuse me. He cost a lot, but I think he was, without question, the third best offensive lineman in this draft. And the other thing about him is he'll probably walk in and play guard as a rookie, but everybody thinks that he can and probably will at some point transition to tackle. You know, look, I live in Brooklyn, and so it seems like, and I wrote about it a little bit in my column, it seems like every other day the Post or Daily News had some Broadway Zach banner on the back page. So clearly that is not going to be easy. This kid is from Mormonville. He is from a medium-sized town in Utah, went to Brigham Young, has never lived outside the state of Utah. And now he's coming, and he's going to be on the back pages every day. And, oh, by the way, all you have to be is the next Namath. And so it's going to be tough for him, but he is the modern quarterback. The modern quarterback has to be as comfortable making plays with his feet moving as he is making plays with his feet stable.
That transition is not an easy one. Mark Sanchez came from L.A., and he said the transition to New York was a very difficult one. Peter, we'll let you go on this note. We need some help here, okay? Tony Boselli needs your help. You have been a Hall of Fame – you've been on the Hall of Fame voting panel since 1992. We believe Tony Boselli is a friend of our show. He's a friend of mine. He's a friend of the podcast. Tony Boselli's on the all-decade team of the 90s. He's the best left tackle I think I've ever seen in my life when he was right, when he was healthy. We need help getting him into the Hall of Fame. You're a voter. Can you help us out, Peter? Can you help my friend out?
I try it every year.
Really? Thank you.
He's my he's kind of my white whale a little bit. That, you know, I just believe that what has happened in recent years in the Pro Football Hall of Fame is we have seen coaches with, you know, less of a resume than a lot of their peers who are not in. We've seen coaches get in, and we've definitely seen players who've played less than 100 games get in the Hall of Fame. And Tony Boselli, including playoffs, played 97, you know, and I think the one reason why I'm passionate about Boselli for the Hall of Fame, and I'll just go back to probably the first big game he ever played, first big regular season game I thought that he ever played. And that was against the Kansas City Chiefs when Derek Thomas was coming off a 6-sack game the previous week. And I covered the game. I'm working for Sports Illustrated, and I cover this game. And it's the first time, and I got to say the only time, I have ever gone to a game to cover the matchup between a left tackle and a pass rusher. I've never done it before or since. And in that game, Tony Boselli shut out Derek Thomas. Not only did he have 0 sacks, but he played opposite Boselli for 90% of the game, and he never touched Mark Brunell that day. And I will never forget going into the locker room after the game. And both PR guys knew that my job, I got to talk to Boselli and I got to talk to Thomas no matter what happens. And Derek Thomas just like went like this. He was just, he was revolted. He was disgusted that he had failed in this matchup. And look, I just think Tony Boselli is, you know, was one of the great left tackles of the 37 years I've covered the NFL. It's long past time. I'd like to really see him get in the Hall of Fame, and I'm glad you guys are on his side.
All right. Well, let's combine forces and let's try to make this happen. Okay. Let's try to get Tony Boselli into his rightful place in Canton, Ohio. Is that fair, Peter?
Very good. Hey, listen, okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me. Good luck. Take care.
Okay. Peter, thank you so much. We're going to have you back on to get Boselli into the Hall of Fame, okay?
Yeah, sounds good.
All right.
Look at you, Stu, asking about Boselli. Looks like we're going to do something.
Listen, I got to be honest with you, Mike. I only did it for appearances, just to give Boselli the impression that we're actually working on this. There'll be no follow-up with Peter King. I love you, Boselli. Stupidity! Stu Gatz here for my friends over at Miller Lite. A lot's changed over the years. One thing that hasn't, the great taste of Miller Lite. It was the original light beer, and to this day, it's still the best one. Miller Lite has more of the taste you want and less of the stuff you don't. And listen, the NBA playoffs are here. I cannot tell you how many times I have drowned my sorrows because of the New York Knicks, and I've drowned them in ice-cold Miller Lights. But hopefully, there is hope. This year, I'll be celebrating my New York Knickerbockers. How about that? Miller Lite keeps it simple, undebatable quality, great taste, only 96 calories. It's the beer that strips away everything you don't need and holds on to what matters most. The original light beer since 1975. Times change, but you can always enjoy the great taste of Miller Lite. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/stew, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces.